Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's just another summer afternoon here in August, with temperatures in the mid-90s and the heat index around triple digits, the way it is for a while. So hope everybody doing well, able to stay as cool as possible. I talked to a couple of folks today that make their livings working outside, and I was glad to give them both a little bit of a break. They said they were able to get some shade while they were talking. It's brutal if you have to be outside. Yes, be careful if you're not accustomed to it. Even if you are, be careful. But welcome in to The Drive here on this Wednesday. And we have our regular Wednesday crew here. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover and the 24/7 Network. And Drew at the controls. Drew, a recovering Drew, sounds and looks much better today. Yeah. Now, I know Dan was really concerned about him yesterday.
I thought Drew had maybe jumped the gun yesterday and returned a little bit too early. He was still Jason. He was still a little symptomatic for my taste yesterday for the close quarters here, but he seems to be doing much better, and I'm always happy to see Drew, so it's great. And Bill, as you mentioned, folks trying to stay cool. Nobody stays cooler than Jason Caldwell, so it's great to see our buddy in here on a eventful last couple of days you and yours.
The last week,
week or so,
has been pretty big.
It's been really big. It really has. It's been, as far as recruiting goes, been as probably a big a week as we've seen in several years, to say the least.
I was trying to think of the last time, and I mean for players of this magnitude, I guess Auburn is closed with, you know, a few, you know, maybe a couple of times.
I think the last multiple five-star class was 2017. So I think Bo was in some, not in all, Owen Popo in 2019, but you had more than, last time you had more than two, which Auburn still has a shot at to have more than two in this class, I think it would have been 2017.
Because you guys can remember this better than I can. What were the commitments of Cadillac and Jason like when they happened at the time?
Different years, though.
Years. Yeah. But did either of those feel like this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jason wasn't this big a deal.
It was in a church on a Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal, but it wasn't made as much.
Cadillac, because it was in state, because it was at school. I remember the entire school being there. Here's my one memory of it. Coaches could not go. They could be on campus, but they could not physically go to the commitment. Mm-hmm. So I had to walk outside and tell Terry Price that Cadillac had committed to Auburn.
You broke the news.
So he did not know for sure.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, that one was absolutely huge. But this day and age, I tell you what, those felt bigger to me, because there was more drama involved and it happened on that stage. Now it's old in 5 minutes.
You've suspected for there could be a Perry Thompson flip at Big Cat Weekend too. It wasn't guaranteed, and there was even, I would say there was some doubt, but I mean, some of the beat writers had stories ready to go.
We had everything ready. It was just a matter of was he going to do it or not. And he walks in that morning and says, "Hey, I'm going to commit at 4:00." And so I was like, "Okay, I'll be ready." So he told me that day what time it was going to be. Malcolm Simmons, we already had done. Me and Christian went to Alexander City on Wednesday or Thursday, maybe Wednesday, and talked to him, had done video, had that ready. So most we're prepared for. Most of the time we are. KJ Bolden, we will not be prepared for. I don't believe he's planning on telling anyone. It's going to be a legitimate surprise.
Florida State or Auburn, you think?
I think so. But I still keep going, man, it's Georgia and Alabama.
Yes,
Georgia, and even
tough.
Alabama. It's
tough to get a kid. Tough to get a kid out of Georgia that Georgia really, really
correct.
Wants.
And it depends on how, you know, everything involved. There's no question that Auburn did as much as they could to help themselves over the weekend. You know, when Perry Thompson gets ready to commit, K.J. Bolden comes running out, jumping on a golf cart, saying, hey, my boy's getting ready to commit. I got to get over there. There's a connection mm-hmm. with a lot of people in this class right now for Auburn. That's a big deal. We'll see if they continue to add some of those types of guys.
It probably helps that Auburn was able to pitch so many members of that Buford team, right, that came in this weekend. And KJ's one of them, but there were quite a few players from that roster that came in this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's something where if you can start to – I mean, the thought of building a pipeline or landing multiple – because they've got – I mean, that's one of the – it's one of the better programs in the region.
Yeah.
At the moment, and they've got some. I mean, K.J. Bolden would be, it would be huge for what it represents. It also would be huge to suggest, is Auburn building something there in Buford?
Yeah, and I think as much as anything, I think we've seen it play out over the last couple of months. Walker White was a guy that started it some. I think Joseph Phillips in spurning Georgia for Auburn opened the door, and then DeMarcus Riddick was a massive deal to go, hey, I'm spurning both those programs. Perry Thompson is a guy that could go anywhere, pretty much anywhere in the country he wants to go, and says I'm going to Auburn. It almost and we've seen it happen before, and it'll continue to be a big part of it. But a guy that breaks the door down and says, hey, I don't care, I'm going there because that's where I want to go. Other guys then go, you know what, that's exactly what I saw, but I didn't want to be the only one.
Oh, yeah. So the precedent has now been set.
That's it. So. And so now we'll see. I mean, I feel good about them adding, you know, a couple of guys, DeAndre Carter, TJ Lindsey. I think Auburn's in good shape with both those guys. We'll see now moving forward how the rest of this class shapes out.
How much Perry Thompson have you seen, and is there – a comparison? You have to go within the Auburn receiver group because it's Auburn hasn't signed a receiver like him.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do Auburn comparisons, and there's not really many that way. From a body standpoint, you'd say Seth Williams would be a similar guy, but he's more sudden than Seth. Seth was a tremendous athlete.
He's probably a little more explosive than Frank Sanders, who's another guy that had
not
a
quite
decent,
that big.
Yeah,
not quite that big. I thought about Dante Moncrief, okay, that played at Ole Miss. Big body. I mean, mm-hmm. Perry Thompson's a big dude, and so
Freeze talks about catch radius.
That's
right.
It.
Turn that into a buzzword.
Yep.
This offseason here in the area, and that, I mean, you think about the receivers he signed at Ole Miss. Because that's what I was on the Max Roundtable talking about this earlier in the week, and Auburn, certainly recently, does not have a tradition of signing the nation's top receivers out of high school, even when they're, or you could even say especially, when they're in the state and Alabama is after them, right? I mean, we talked about Obamanu was the last composite five-star. Tim Hawthorne was the last top 50 national player to position.
Yeah, like, they've had – like solid classes like Seth Williams and Eli Stove, and they had some guys that, I mean, Anthony Schwartz was a highly thought of guy.
I mean, Darius Slayton's class, on a roster,
but
right
none
now
of those moment. Guys like that. Darius Slayton was a guy that Georgia wanted more as a DB,
right?
But Georgia did want.
I mean, the class with Ben Anthony, I mean,
Courtney Taylor,
and Devin Romeshudu. That was the last. What seemed like, boy, that's a really good class of receivers.
And that was the
nucleus. Been a couple.
That was the nucleus of a group
a couple
that
decades.
Went, well,
yeah.
Well, that was a nucleus of a group that went. It was part of an undefeated season. You also had
Mitch
Poca that ended up Monte Pitts that ended up
DB.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nate so, Craig and Kyle Davis were guys that recruiting.
Yeah, they
you know,
they
folks
have
right.
had they've had those guys, but the problem was you didn't have that and an offense.
Mm-hmm.
You had the guys, but you didn't have an offense that could get those guys the ball consistently, could get it to them on more than 3rd and 12. Those are the kind of things that's how you go to have 1,000-yard receiver. Darvin Adams was the last guy that you went, and that guy's the threat. You know, and him and Terrell Zachary outside were big play threats because you had Cam Newton. You know, Sammy Coates did some things during his time, and you know, Marcus Davis had some big catches, but you haven't had an offense. And here's the thing, I'll just say it. I hadn't had an offense in my lifetime. I was born after Pat Sullivan. You had Patrick Nix, Damian Craig that threw it around, did some things. Since that time, other than that short window of time under Terry Bowden, there hasn't been an offense. I mean, just look.
Sustained?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, right, because
well,
you had.
Well, I mean, just think. You had Cam.
Yeah.
And you had Brandon Cox.
Look at Auburn's all-time single-season offensive
marks. I'm not disagreeing. No, I mean, right.
Yes.
I mean,
passing touchdowns, receiving yards and touchdowns.
That's it. It hasn't been that thing at Auburn, and that's where, in this day and age, you got to get to. Got to get there.
Seasons where you would say, like, let's go since Tuberville was hired, seasons where you would say Auburn's passing offense was above average or better. Campbell 04 would be a season where efficiency-wise, you'd say
efficiency-wise,
probably not yardage.
But I mean, with the running backs you had, you didn't throw the ball 30 times a game.
Did Brandon have a year statistically where?
It was really efficient.
Maybe efficiency-wise,
I'm going to go right now and go. You know, obviously, because last year had no impact on the passing stats. I'm going to go right now and
might have dropped him over the last decade. Yeah.
Jared Stidham's 2017
year
was pretty good.
Didn't Todd hold a record for a while?
99. I think he did for 20 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, Todd. Yeah, threw 20 touchdowns. I don't know where Auburn was in the conference and stuff like that.
Let's see. I'm going to go.
Cam,
find it
Nick,
right
Stidham. I mean, no. I mean, even. I mean, you're talking more. You're certainly not talking about yardage. Right? I mean, we were looking at Jason, it is a pronounced difference between whatever is the average season for an Auburn passing offense over the last 10 or 20 years, certainly the last five, but whatever that average season is, there's a pronounced difference between that average season through the air and what Hugh Freeze did multiple seasons at Ole Miss. I'm reluctant to compare Liberty stats to SEC stats because there's an exchange rate, but there were multiple seasons at Ole Miss where that Hugh Freeze passing offense was several steps ahead of what an Auburn average offense has done through the air over the last couple of. Now that's not to say, I mean, Auburn has had success in, there have been seasons Auburn's usually found success on the ground, but
yeah, that's been the thing. I mean, you know, Auburn at the time was able to play with Ole Miss because they could control the line of scrimmage. They could run.
Yeah. Here's your stat. Cam Newton had 30 touchdown passes. Chris Todd is second all time for Auburn season with 22. 22 touchdowns.
Five of them in the West Virginia game? Maybe six.
Yeah, 22 touchdown passes. Is second all-time in a single season in Auburn football history.
And each of the last 2 years, Peyton Thorne threw for more than that. He threw 25 and 24 in his 2 years.
And, I mean, so you start looking and going, Jason Campbell's year was 20-7.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. His pass efficiency, you know, Cam was 30-7. Ben Leard, had he not gotten hurt in 99, so it was a little before, he had 12-1, had 12 touchdowns, only one interception, had a concussion a couple of times.
Did Stidham get to 20 in either season?
No.
Jared Stidham got to 18 both years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jason Campbell had 20. Nick Marshall had 20. Pat Sullivan had 20. Sullivan had 2017. Bo had 16 in 2019. And then you had Damian Craig in 96. Damian Craig in 97 had 18. Brandon Cox had 15.
Didn't Damian was there among single season passing yards.
You know,
so
he had the most passing yards in a single season, I believe. Still,
up and, yeah. Or does he still?
Yes. 30,
wow.
32-77. But remember, that's the team that couldn't run.
Oh, I know.
They made
we
it
were
to
just
a,
talking about
made
one
it
of
to a championship
minutes
game.
Ago.
Did Cam finish in the 3,000 range?
Cam had 28-54.
Yeah. Okay, 28-54. Yeah.
Jared Stidham had
and
three.
That's in more games.
Jared Stidham had 31-58 in 2017. Mm-hmm. So you've had
Auburn's had two 3,000 yard passers
in an era now where you play at least 13 games make a bowl game.
That means 12 games a year, 250 yards a game is 3,000 yards, and Auburn, you know, hasn't had that, where that is pretty much routine.
Is Hugh Freeze, I mean, you would know better than just about anybody we get to talk to, Jason. Is Hugh Freeze selling the hope of explosive passing offense to some of these guys?
I think he's selling that.
Especially receivers?
If this program is to get where it needs to go, that has to change. And you've got to be able to do those things nowadays to compete at the highest level. If you don't believe that, go ask Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Both of those guys said, oh, we can run it and we can win. Nope, they had to change what they did. You know, that's the thing.
It's funny how Alabama appears to be trying to go back a little bit and get away from as much wide-open passing and want to try to control the line of scrimmage and run more.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that's – well, I mean, what Bryce Young last year, though? He still had a bunch.
Oh, yeah. Because their offensive line wasn't very good. So, I mean, they had to sort of do that.
This would be a project for a journalist. Wouldn't it also – I mean, Jason, just guessing right now without having studied it, would you say that one of the common threads among teams that have made the playoff since – the playoff was implemented is that they usually have overwhelming talent at wide receiver?
Like that's, it's elite level. Yeah. I mean, you think about Clemson, think about Alabama.
Georgia, how about 2019 LSU?
Georgia probably 2 years ago is probably the one that didn't have as much. They're still pretty good.
The top two receivers on the 2019 LSU team might be two of the five best receivers in the NFL right now in Jefferson and Chase.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where would you say? Jefferson and Chase, two of the top five receivers in the league? Right now, and they were the top two receivers on the 2019 mm-hmm. LSU team.
Look at the Alabama receivers in the NFL. What have they got? Eight or nine, and I believe at least six or seven of them, have been 1,000-yard receivers in the NFL.
The 2018 Alabama team had four eventual first round picks at wide receiver, including a
Heisman Trophy winner.
Let me think about that. Smith. It would have been Smith. I think Waddle would have been part of that group, and then you have the Jerry Judy,
and
the fourth one who was also Riggs. Henry Ruggs.
I was thinking Ruggs. Montgomery. Yeah, Ruggs.
I'm gonna give you one that will make it hit home. People have dogged Stetson Bennett, right? Stetson Bennett's just a game manager.
Yeah.
Just a guy. Stetson Bennett had 66 career passing touchdowns. Pat Sullivan still holds the record at Auburn with 53.
Oh yeah, no, Stetson Bennett's career would have been.
It would just destroy Auburn records.
That's what I'm saying. So that tells you where Auburn has to get offensively and where Auburn's been right there. People have Stetson. Oh, he's a game managing guy. Now they're extremely talented. But that guy has 13 more career touchdown passes than Pat Sullivan did, and Pat Sullivan's eight ahead of Jason Campbell.
And Stetson, did Stetson start, 2 years?
He had 10
most of
his
the 20,
first two
most
years.
Of the 20 seasons.
Yeah. Well, here you go. In 2 years, he had 56.
In two years, he had more touchdown passes than Sullivan did in three.
Yeah, he had 56. Yeah, and they played a lot more games.
That's true.
He eventually started 2.5. But, I mean,
but I'm just saying, in his last two full years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In his last 2 years, he had 56 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
All right, we need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. It's the Kia of Auburn Hotline. Kia of Auburn, the sponsor of Hour Number 1. And Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us on those platforms. Or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's available with help from our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We're just getting underway. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Hey, sports fans, Jeff Mike, 382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn Hotline. And Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just read an article about a 5-star defensive lineman that visited Monday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Cam Franklin.
His last name's Franklin.
Yep.
And I just wanted your opinion about him.
Yeah, Cam Franklin is a kid from Lake Cormorant, Mississippi, up in the Olive Branch, south of Memphis area. Has a teammate that's a really good prospect in 2025. Cam's visited Auburn a bunch of times, and so Miami's in the picture. Florida's in the picture.
In-state schools, Mississippi schools.
Ole Miss wasn't involved. I don't know that they're in the picture anymore. Here's the thing: Auburn has a strong Mississippi staff. Mm. You've had guys that grew up in Mississippi and coached in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal for him. And so came back in, hung out. I think Auburn's in the picture.
And I'd imagine Hugh Freeze's name still carries.
Absolutely, it does. And here's the thing, the connection with high school coaches that were built then still hold up now. And then you think about a guy like Jeremy Garrett. Jeremy Garrett's from Ole Miss, from Mississippi, played at Ole Miss, so an in-state guy. Jake Thornton coached at Ole Miss. So there's some connections for Auburn and the state of Mississippi. So, yeah, I mean, Cam Franklin's a guy that I think they're absolutely in the mix with.
To hear that. Sounded like he really hit it off with Garrett.
Yeah, he's been over at least three times since January. He's come over a few times and made visits. So he's a guy that's been here a few times. I think going to plan to take some official visits early, and I think he told Christian his was going to be for the UMass game right out of the gate. So he's going to come back. He was going to wait, but he wants to do a little earlier. For Auburn, I think it's a great sign if you get a guy that wants to come back week one for UMass and take an official visit. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Thanks for the info.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Yeah, so Cam Franklin came in Monday. You mentioned the players Auburn got commits from. Hey, Hugh Freeze adds a player for the 2024 roster.
Yes, it's probably one of the bigger additions in my opinion. And what's really funny is when you think about Dylan Senda, who is a transfer from Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that people said was, "Oh, they were 1-11 last year."
Yeah, we heard that.
I don't care. He wasn't there last year, first of all.
He was in high school.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Second of all, Northwestern's had two offensive tackles drafted in the first round in the last three drafts. You know the last Auburn offensive tackle drafted in the first round?
Greg Robinson, right? It would have been a decade ago.
You know the last one before him?
Tackle. Ooh. I'm going maybe Euchre. I don't know.
Victor Riley.
Wow, okay. I knew it had been a while.
1996. That's how far back you got to go for the second one. Mm. Northwestern's had two in the last three years. Marcus McNeil was a second rounder. That's it. Northwestern's done a pretty good job of kind of finding offensive tackles and finding offensive linemen. I think it's a great addition. This guy that can play all five positions. Spoke to him yesterday, and he's really excited. Hey, relationships with Jake Thornton. Knew him. Jake Thornton recruited him for Ole Miss before he chose Northwestern last year, but had Michigan, had others. He's a kid from Michigan originally. But 6'5", 305. He was about 275 coming out of high school. Those are the kind of guys I got to thinking about it. I started thinking back. And, hey, I've lived this. I've been big and overweight most of my life.
I can relate.
Most of the offensive linemen that go on to be really successful are guys that gain weight, mm-hmm. not lose it. It's just hard. It's hard to live that way. It's hard to be that way and stay that way. The guys that gain weight are the guys that are quicker, more athletic. They can put on the muscle the right way.
And he's already been through an off-season camp and spring practice at Northwestern.
He's already been through it. Like I said, he's gone through. And even though it's a different offense, it's not going to be worlds apart. You might call something a little differently. But my guess is that they'll give him a shot. And he said he didn't know whether or not he'd be tackle or guard. My guess is they'll give him a shot at tackle first. There's less depth for me at the mm-hmm. tackle positions than there is inside. I wouldn't be surprised to see him before camp's over with, maybe working his way up to a second team spot and trying to get a little reps to try to get ready, because you're more than likely going to lose Dylan Wade. I mean, he's got 2 years left, but I think he's going to be an NFL guy. Gunnar Britton's a one-year guy. Avery Jones is a one-year guy. You think about Cam Stutz is a one-year guy. Jeremiah Wright, if he does what he could do, could be a one-year guy.
And you'd love to make inroads and sell playing time, but do you really want to be relying overly on true freshmen?
Well, right? So that's why you go, man, try to get guys like this, give them a little experience, give Connor Lew a little experience, give Isaiah Miller to have some guys that at least have played some to build around heading into 2024.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Brett, hang on. You'll be up first when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I know they hadn't even started yet, but I'd like to get y'all's predictions on who's going to start and be the backup at middle linebacker, outside linebacker, Jack, and then the other, weak side defensive end.
All right. I would go – let's go the – well, used to be the Jack, now the Edge. I'm going to go Jalen McLeod as a starter, and I'm going to go Elijah McAllister as the backup.
Okay.
That I would go there now.
I wonder I might lean the other way and think Jalen starts off just being a situational guy.
Is this also where Steven Sings would be on your depth chart?
Yeah, that's where Sings is too, yes. But I think it's those three guys on the other side at defensive end. But the reason why I didn't mention Keldrick Fault because he's not a edge anymore. He is now a hand on the ground defensive end. That's where he would be. I don't think he'll be a starter right away. I would put Marcus Harris at that spot.
So you don't have Keldrick Falk as a Jack?
No, he's now anymore. Hand on the ground.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew he'd grown.
Yeah, he's 288. Yeah. So he is now – he's going to be a hand on – I'm going to put –
Note that in the Bill Cameron
– Yeah, I will. I'll have to make that change. I was going to give you that one for tomorrow. Yeah. I will make that change on mine for tomorrow.
I'm
going to
put Marcus Harris –
Marcus, I believe, is your guy.
Yeah, I'm going to put there. Marcus Harris and Keldrick Falk at that other side. Mm-hmm. At linebacker, I'm going to go –
middle linebacker, I'm saying Austin Keys.
I'm going Austin Keys in the middle with Wesley Steiner behind him. And then I'm going to go Cam Riley at the other linebacker spot.
And Larry Nixon. And Larry Nixon getting a chance to move. I mean, we're not talking about tomorrow in practice, right, Brett? We're talking about
when the season started. Yeah. Okay. That would be my guess, right?
Robert Woodyard somewhere in there?
I think Woodyard's going to get a mix in the middle.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, Jason, but on McLeod, how much does he weigh now?
He's about 235, 238, something like that. He's going to be a speed guy, but he's pretty strong. He's been the guy that almost exclusively all those guys have talked about how good they thought he was this summer.
Is the Jack in every down position in the Roberts offense, or do you think it's something where it depends on situations
if they're playing a team that they feel like is just going to run? Yeah, probably not.
That's the thing. This thing's going to have some movement involved. Yeah. So if it's Georgia, I would lean not towards Jalen McLeod, but I would lean more towards a Steven Sings, who's 255, 260 kind of guy. Maybe against an Ole Miss or maybe somebody. Ole Miss will run it too. Who knows? That's the thing. We don't know much about State. We don't know what they're going to do, really. I think they've got some variations with the depth they've brought in at some of these positions. And Masai Nasilikite could be an end too, in this system. They could play Jason Jones and Justin Rogers together in the middle and have played two of those guys outside at different times. So I think they got some things they can do.
Okay. Hey, last thing. I've read, obviously he's not a sack specialist, but Justin Rogers, I read where he was second on Kentucky in quarterback pressures. So hopefully we can get some push up the middle, which should help the other guys on the outside.
If you can get pressure from the inside, it doesn't have to – I mean, that should help result in sacks whether the nose gets it or not.
That's actually best case scenario. If you got that guy that's pushing the pocket, there's nothing better for a defense. I mean, obviously, if you had a guy that had 28 sacks off the edge, that'd be great. But, I mean, you know, but if you got a guy that can create pressure and get in the quarterback's face, then that's a big deal.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Brett. Well, he sort of leads into, all right, Jason, tomorrow when we get the opportunity to go out there and look, where's the first place you're going to go?
I think you have to go to quarterback stuff just because they don't have pads on.
Right.
And so that's the thing where you start looking at it going.
Quarterback's going to be paired up with the receivers too. That's where I've got it.
Yeah, quarterback wide receiver to me is going to be the thing I'm going to watch most. Some of the young guys, just kind of see how they run around. You know, I had a chance this summer to watch some of the receivers, so I got a chance to see Caleb Burton and some of these guys a little bit, Shane Hooks and some of them.
Apparently, you've been impressed with Caleb Burton.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the people that we've talked to have said he brought that Ohio State work ethic with him. You know, the ball machines, doing those things, that he learned it from a guy, you know, that's pretty highly thought of in Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's a pretty good guy to model yourself mm-hmm. after. So, and he's the most athletically gifted of the wide receiver group. He was the highest rated.
Right.
He's a guy that everybody believes has a chance to be a big time guy. So, Caleb Burton, you know, see those guys kind of running routes. Quarterback, see how they're throwing the football. It's hard to really take a whole lot else when you don't have pads on, other than what guys look like. I've seen, you know, guys like Marcus Harris. I've heard unbelievable things about, like, Isaiah Miller, how much their bodies have changed. I saw a couple of these young offensive linemen the other day, and, like, they look different. And so I want to see this kind of – Justin Rogers, you mentioned, just a big guy. But if I see a trimmed down mm-hmm. 330 instead of 340 Justin Rogers, and all of a sudden you go – okay, that's a guy that can do some things.
A couple of the Kentucky players were really and you know, you weigh this as appropriately as you need to, but a couple of the Kentucky players, you know, they really lit up when you asked them about Justin Rogers and what kind of player Auburn was getting at Media Days a couple of weeks ago. Like, those guys, you know, could tell. One of them, the D lineman, the one with the amazing name, Octavius Oxenbridge.
Yeah,
I whatever. Can't remember. Amazing, whatever his name is. But he was one of the best. You know, one of the best interviews of the week. He talked about losing Justin and how it, you know, how sad he was about it, because not only were they close as player as teammates and friends, but he knew what kind of player Justin is on the field.
Yeah, no, he's a guy that obviously you look and pretty well respected. I mean, he's got named to a watch list for one of the national awards, and
I thought he'd have a shot at an all conference preseason sort of deal.
It's just out of sight, out of mind right now. Because, yeah. I mean, Dylan Wade's a guy that I voted for as one of the top five guys. I really did. I think he's a guy that's going to be that good for this Auburn team.
His name's just not known in the conference.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. Justin Rogers, he is. But they're like, well, he transferred. And so if you transfer to certain schools, then you get some transfer recognition. But it doesn't happen that way all through the league.
Yeah, so practice getting started tomorrow. We'll hear from Hugh Freeze at 8:30, and then practice at 9:30 tomorrow, and get a few opportunities to watch some of the preschool workouts.
Yeah, no, yeah, looking forward to it. It's always a couple of days to try to go out and get as many photos as we can get, do some galleries, do a little video. We'll have some quarterback video for folks tomorrow. So that's going to be one of the main focus points for us tomorrow in practice on day one.
Hey, in addition to that, I mean, there's been some basketball news the last few days. Promotions there in the staff. Stephen Pearl, associate head coach, and we've had quite a few folks getting opportunities to move up.
I went to watch practice 2 weeks ago, I think, and Pearl then told me, he said, hey, you know, Burgo's out here coaching, because Chad Pruitt was gone that day. He said, Burgo's out here coaching, don't say anything about it yet. and so I kind of had a heads up that this one was going to come. But, yeah, it's much like in baseball. They've added some on-court
right.
positions.
Couple, right?
Yep, giving them. So Chad Pruitt and Mike Burgermaster both are now on court. And two guys that have been a massive part of what Auburn basketball has done in different ways. You know, one thing, you know, Bruce Pearl has always done a great job of is delegating. He gives his assistants a whole lot of responsibility. And those guys have been involved in game planning.
Scouting and game planning, doing all that stuff
the entire time. And so now you get a chance to coach on the court, do some different things. And
is this the first time Chad's been a non-interim assistant coach?
Yes, a non-interim assistant.
That's right. He's had other jobs. I know he's been director of basketball operations.
Yes, he had the interim spot where he was on the court for a while, but this is the first time where he's been on the court as
full-time assistant coach.
Yeah, an assistant coach.
Yeah, chief of staff and some other positions.
Right.
But yeah, congratulations to everyone getting well-deserved promotions
It's great.
Coach Pearl's department.
Then, you know, Ian Borders, director of scouting, a guy that's been around for a while, and then Maddox Jeffries has gone from manager all the way up to now director of operations for the program. So it's that's when you know you got it good, when you get people that stay and work their way up and want to stay being a part of it. That's how you build continuity in a staff. You're going to lose some assistant coaches. That's just happens. But if you keep building that chain and building that family tree that's coming up, which is what they've done, that's a pretty good sign.
Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Larry is next. Hey, Larry. Oh, we lost him. All right.
Larry, call us back if you get the chance.
All right. Jason, before you go, I didn't know if you
– I'm good.
Could have been
Larry. Okay, yep. Good.
Could have been Larry David.
No telling who it could have been. I sort of doubt it, but it could have been. We don't know.
We'll find out.
Wasn't Larry fine? Let's see. Jason, I've been asked two or three times about what's going on with baseball. I haven't had many opportunities to be riding up and down Donahue.
I actually walked in the stadium today.
Okay.
There is fencing up from behind home plate, going down the right field line, out a little bit, down the left field line. So there's fencing up almost to the plate. They're starting the process.
That means prep. Okay.
They're starting the process of knocking down some of the brick wall behind home plate, which is what
where the field level
suites are going to go. Yes. So that's starting to get that process going. I believe it's going to push back fall a little bit to try to get some of those things done, at least to get that part of it done. Mm-hmm. So, they're rolling. It looks like a construction area right now.
Well, that's good.
But it was pretty quiet other than that.
Because last time I went by, I couldn't see anything, and
yeah,
I had
and
a couple
it's all
people
inside.
Ask.
Yeah, okay. All inside. It's kind of working its way from the inside out. So.
Okay. All right, let's get to our final break here of hour number one. Jason's sticking with us until the top of the hour. So if you've got a question or anything for Jason, 334-321-1390 as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that a
5-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell. Jason, before we, you know, run out of time or anything, talk a little bit about, even though it seemed like when you just looked at the calendar, it's like, well, there's nothing going on the field. It's been a very busy time. There's a lot going on, and it's really going to crank up with practice getting started tomorrow there at 24/7 at Auburn Undercover.
It is, and I think for first-time subscribers, got a little camp deal going on.
Little?
Yeah, 75%.
It's a pretty good one.
75%
yeah.
off. Yeah, it's as good as it gets, and so you can check that out. It's an incredible deal when you consider everything we got going on. And what we have planned for coming up for camp, I put up episode 2 of The Real Deal today with Luke Deal. And so we'll have myself and Luke Deal together throughout the year.
Cool.
And so kind of catching up with him. And today we kind of just talked about the summer, the anticipation of camp, his thoughts on some position groups, those kind of things. So you can check that out there at Auburn Undercover. And so things like that and more throughout the throughout camp and throughout the season.
You need to do a live episode tomorrow on the practice field?
No, we cannot do that. Not the last time you'd be doing it.
Yeah, no, so that's why we did it today. We actually went inside the indoor. So me and Luke Deal kind of talking it up on the indoor. And so we'll be able to catch up, give him a few days into practice next week and see how it's going.
Bill, you think Coach Agamawa would care if Jason came in with a mic to get a comment from Luke?
Yeah, probably not during practice.
Mid drill.
Yeah, during practice, I would say that wouldn't be wise.
Probably wouldn't be good.
Probably wouldn't be. Well, hey, I did saw where Nathan posted a little while ago a note about Bobby Jamison Travis.
Yeah,
that he's in town and good to go.
Yep. So that's huge news. Another defensive lineman, this is a guy that they thought was going to provide some of that pass rush for them, and so getting him out there. The question will be, okay, physically,
right.
How much in shape he is, those kind of things, and that's the hard part about missing an entire summer. You can work as hard as you think you're working at home. It's still not as hard as those guys are working when they're pushing each other and those kind of things. So we'll see how he's able to come in and acclimate himself and how quickly he can.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting tomorrow. We'll talk a good bit about that, what we see. Dan's going to try to – are you going to pull an all-nighter?
No, I'll be there. I got that.
No, that's what I mean, for you to be there.
I have an alarm clock I can plug in and set to the set to the right time.
All right, so yeah, we'll be over there and
my paperweight doubles as an alarm clock on my on my desk in my office.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. but yeah, looking forward to seeing just what guys look like and if anybody moves. I mean, interesting. I mean, it makes sense with the Keldrick Faulk move inside. You know, be interested to see if anybody else is getting looks anywhere else.
Yeah, it would be. That's going to be the thing in how much early on. There probably will be a ton of movement, but there may be, you know, offensive line, defensive line. The one that this will be all over the place can be wide receiver. There are just so many guys and so much unknown when you talk about the newcomers. I mean, you know, Jair Shorter and about Shane Hooks and obviously Caleb Burton. I mean, like, you got so many new faces. You get you know, guys coming back that have been a little banged up. All that, and then obviously, you know, do we see 27 out there tomorrow? I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking at it the other day, and it is crazy. I mean, with I guess 42 new guys now that you've added Dylan Senda, 21 of them weren't here in the spring.
Well, that's it. That's the part of it.
Well,
you're not going to. I mean, it's uncharted territory. It's just
The only thing that's close to this was back in the day when nobody came to school in the summer and your whole freshman class would come in. But this is different. They're not just freshmen.
Well, no, but the difference in that is that everybody that was there the year before was back.
Right.
So you had 55 guys that you knew who they were, you knew what number they were, all those things. Now that group's different and everybody else is different. And I mean, I walked by Jair Shorter today and I'm like, hey, Luke, who was that? I know probably as many faces as anybody.
If Jason doesn't know them, there aren't many people that do.
And so guys like that, you know, been around for a couple months, but even, you know, the recruiting photos.
What does he look like? I mean,
he's a big body.
Yeah.
You know, big body. And so that's the thing. Shane Hooks, I've gotten to know pretty good. And the one thing about I'm ready for people to see. The one thing about Shane Hooks tomorrow is when you see his hands, you're going to be just absolutely blown. He's got – got Dan hands.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I like him already.
Yeah, and they're huge. And so you take a picture of him catching a football and like they're
touching. It looks like he's got one of those mini balls.
Yes, it looks you'll need to bring
a 12-ounce can of Coca-Cola to practice for reference and just get a picture
of him. Get him holding it. Yeah, or like a Gatorade bottle, you know, something like that.
Wrap it all around.
But there's so many things to watch, but it's almost more individual. The first couple of days.
All right,
just getting eyes on people.
All right, I said in the last couple of days, and I've been asked this on a couple of other shows, about the feeling going into this fall. And I said, you know, it's anticipation, not expectation of, going to win 9 or 10 games and expect to be in Atlanta, something like that. But there's so much different, and it all feels good different.
It does. Yeah, I mean, this season is going to have its share of ups and downs. It's just going to. I mean, like, and I've heard people go, well, Auburn's done it before. Yeah, but you got so many newcomers on this team. And the rosters that say, like, 2013 roster, that was a roster that had a bunch of really good players on it. They just happened to have a terrible 2012, terrible decisions in coordinators and systems and everything, and it fell apart pretty quickly. They went right back to the same offense. Went right back. I mean, it was like coming back home, and then you added a dynamic quarterback in Nick Marshall. There's pieces for this team, but what I keep saying about this team is you went from no chance to having a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this year's about.
Yeah, I think that there's hope.
Yep.
It almost felt hopeless.
This was a
– at times.
I said I didn't think this team had a chance to win more than 3 games. If you'd asked me in October, okay, what's this team going to be in 2023, a 3-win team. That's what I thought they were going to be. Now you've given yourself a chance to – I mean, they got a chance to win 7 or 8 games. If things fall right, you might win a few – you might win more than that. But it's going to have to take everything falling into place. It's happened before. But I would say 75-8-4, somewhere around in there. And if you have that, based on everything you've had and the recruiting class you've got, that'd be pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's also a pretty good selling point for more recruits. Jason, always great to have you here. One more time, let everybody know how they can keep up with you and everything there at 24/7.
Yeah, check us out, AuburnUndercover.com. We'll get you there, part of the 24/7 network. And like I said, 75% off now, I think, for the next couple of days as you get into camp. So check us out.
All right, Jason, we will see you in the morning.
Yep, sounds good.
We're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Dan and I back with you. Love for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Wednesday Drive with Bill and Dan. Drew at the controls. Regular crew here for hour number two. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network. Our regular Wednesday first hour. He's not a guest. He's the co-host. He's a co-host here in the first hour on Wednesdays. Great stuff from Jason, as always. Hope you caught that. If you missed any, though, there's still a chance.
Yeah, you can check out the podcast. Episodes of the podcast available however you listen to podcasts, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. You can go to you can go to the podcast center at espnau.com and use that way to find episodes of The Drive, or go to go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. You can find episodes of the show that way. Rate, review, subscribe, and podcasts all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. You can be a part of the show. One of the ways is by calling us on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and that number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And like I said, they also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts.
All right. We can go just about any direction that you, our listeners, would like, because we'll respond. May not know anything about whatever you want to talk about. We talked a good bit about tomorrow being the first day of Auburn fall football practice. Jason said there at the very end what will be the top of mind topic tomorrow, and that is, where's number 27? I'm sure that there will be a question about Jarquez Hunter if there's not an announcement or not a comment about him before questions are taken. So, I mean, that will be something that I'm sure Hugh Freeze will be presented with tomorrow.
Yeah, kind of hope for all parties involved that,
love to have some resolution.
Jarquez is just out there. Yeah. It's not something that folks need to wonder about. But at the same time, there's no telling what we will see tomorrow. And, I imagine that'll be a question for the pre-practice media availability for Coach Freeze, and it will also be something that journalists are looking for once we get to take a look at practice.
Yeah, we'd love your thoughts. What are you the most intrigued by about the start of practice? What positions are you, really interested in hearing about? We will try to cover the entire team, try to look at all the players. I've got Dan, my roster, which needs adjusting now that Jason has said that it is official that we have a move from the big freshman.
And you had just, Dylan Senda is on this roster.
Yeah.
So you had just updated it.
I had,
recently,
but
enough. Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't heard that. I thought he'd probably be moving, and I probably won't. I may not go ahead and print it, because tomorrow's is going to have a whole lot of little notes and marks and things on it as we check and see who's lined up where, who looks like what. Now, I would say, don't get too carried away by what you hear of who's lining up first, second, third, or whatever tomorrow, because there's so many new faces that there will be, I think, changes, and there'll probably be changes during practices here for the first week or so, and I'm sure that we'll see different groupings from day one to day two and day three and so forth. But yeah, that's one of the fun things about getting an opportunity to watch a little bit of it. So we will talk about that tomorrow on the show. Something we didn't get into yet, and that is some of the reports coming out today about more restructuring among college football conferences. You know, yesterday we talked about the that one person who was saying, hey, the Big Ten could be looking to add four teams. Well, it does appear today that that could be the case, but not the same four teams that were mentioned yesterday. Oregon and Washington, as well as Cal and Stanford, are being mentioned as possibilities to join the Big Ten now.
Yeah, which we wondered if the Big Ten would stop with just two teams on the West Coast, or if it would look to collect from any of the other Pac-12 member institutions, you know, a bigger footprint in the Pacific time zone and on the western side of the United States. Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Stanford, I think, would fit the Big Ten's academic ambitions.
Absolutely.
They're all in major metropolitan areas or close to them. And they've been longtime rivals of USC and UCLA. I've thought that if the Big Ten wanted to continue to grow, either joining, you know, either enlisting Washington and Oregon or all four of them, including Cal and Stanford, made sense. Stanford, not necessarily a powerhouse in football and men's basketball.
No, but they have a solid athletic program.
Yeah, and a huge, you know, a huge endowment and a lot of influential, mm-hmm. a lot of influential alumni to go along with. Yeah, I mean, well, they're a genuine superpower in women's basketball.
They're a much better and more rounded athletic program, and Carter wouldn't like me saying this, in Northwestern.
15 Final Fours in women's basketball, uh-huh. like all of them since 1990. You know, some crazy stat like that. So I mean, it's you know, there are sports. I think they have more national championships in everything than anyone else, even if a lot of those titles, you know, date back to a while. So yeah, those it's becoming increasingly possible for there to be Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal joining USC and UCLA in the Big Ten. Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah joining the Big 12.
With Colorado,
yeah. Who's already made that move. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at a conference of Washington State and
The leftovers are just, yeah, what? Is that right? Oregon State, Washington State? That's
what would be left.
Pretty much,
yeah.
It.
I mean, if you take USC and UCLA out,
hey,
and
they
you move
keep
four
the
those
name yeah. Pac-12 and change the Mountain West to the Pac. To the Pac, whatever
you could, or the Mountain West could just bring in, because I have a feeling that the folks making media deals with the Pac-12
are going to go, this isn't the Pac-12.
It's not what we signed up. That. You know, bill of goods, I think it's the other big conference news is the remarks of the Florida State president.
Absolutely, Florida State president saying that they need some clarification, or there needs to be something that is not going to let the ACC keep slipping behind the SEC and the Big Ten, and that Florida State needs to have an exit plan within the next 12 months if something doesn't change.
Yeah, I mean, dangerous stuff, because there are, and we've said this, Bill, there are programs in the ACC that aren't necessarily national championship caliber programs very often in football and men's basketball. And there are other programs that envision themselves as perennial contenders in one of those two sports. And the schools that see themselves as a contender in either football or men's basketball, that believe they have the chance to be a power in a sport like that. So let's ACC schools that prioritize football in a meaningful way. Miami, Florida State,
Clemson.
I mean, Carolina and NC State have
invested in their football programs.
Yeah, even those are the main three.
Sure. Virginia Tech has put some serious resources into football. There are schools where they're not going to sit back and watch the SEC and the Big Ten lap them multiple times in revenue while they're stuck in an ACC deal that doesn't work for them. And men's basketball programs too, right? Duke and Carolina and Virginia and Louisville, like places that see themselves as men's basketball national championship caliber. Syracuse, like there are programs that will have something to say about that. So yeah, the ACC could be next on the list after the Pac-12 implodes if they can't find a way to keep their most prominent member institutions happy.
Yeah, we'd love your thoughts on that. I wonder, and Matt, we'll get to you in just a sec. I wonder if the Big Ten does go and add four, who else could be part of the – I can see them being the Big Ten East and the Big Ten West. Just have 20 teams, two 10-team conferences within the giant 10 or the whatever, the Big 10 times 2. Nebraska, who else you could fit out west? I mean, who's the closest geographically to the other six Western schools? Nebraska's the closest, right?
In the Big 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I'm thinking like
Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota and Nebraska would be your closest ones.
Iowa?
But it's a flight.
I know.
From those schools.
You got to go over the Rockies.
That's
a hike, man.
But I mean, you're already, when you introduce USC and UCLA.
You're already doing that, I'm trying to figure a way to cut it down, because then just go with two 10-team sub or two 10-team divisions and have each division play everybody in their own division for nine games, and then you could play a championship game.
Yeah,
so
I guess
the double Big Ten.
I guess Nebraska and Minnesota would, you know, they'd have to rack up some airfare, but that could be they'd be the other two in a division with.
Well, now they'd need to be two more.
With Nebraska, Minnesota,
teams.
And two more.
Yeah.
Okay, Michigan and Michigan State.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Ohio State and Michigan. Well, because I don't want Ohio State and Michigan in the same division in the Big Ten, right? Because, you know, you got to, you know.
Oh, but they still got to play.
Sure. They got to play each other, and then you got, you know, you're playing everybody in the division and one from the other side.
So you're playing 10 conference games? Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, there's got to be some overlap, right? I mean.
I guess that's why I think they'd be in the same division. Well, whatever.
We got someone hanging on. Matt.
Yeah, we do. Matt, let's get to the phone. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Sorry about that digression, Matt. Forgot you
that's
were there.
All right. I got a quick basketball question. You may have talked about yesterday. I saw Stephen Pearl got a raise and a different title. I'm not a big fan of coaches in waiting and family members being the next one in line. Is that where this is going, that we think maybe Bruce is going to want Stephen Pearl to be the head coach when he decides to hang it up?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Bruce wanted. I also wouldn't be surprised if Stephen gets a head coaching job before Bruce decides to hang him up.
And I think it would probably be – Not to try to break up the team or anything, but if Stephen Pearl wants to be Auburn head coach someday, I don't know if being a head coach somewhere else, like, that might help. Like,
yeah,
that might help his qualifications when the day comes for Auburn to decide whoever replaces Bruce Pearl.
It is just putting Stephen one step closer to being a head coach. But I agree with Dan. I think that I told Wimp, we were talking with Wimp Sanderson about this morning. I think Stephen Pearl's going to have the opportunity to be a head coach pretty soon.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, that he could go to maybe, I'm not saying a smaller school or less school, but somewhere to sort of learn what it needs to be a head coach. And then whenever Bruce decides to hang it up, hopefully that won't be for a while, maybe he could step in, but not sit there and wait, you know, and then step in as soon as he's done. But
and then today, sorry about that, Matt. Yeah, today,
good
as
stuff,
we were
Matt.
Talking a while ago, Chad Pruitt, Mike Burgemaster promoted to assistant coaches full time because the NCAA has approved two more on-court full time assistant coaches. So Chad and Mike, who've been around and been very instrumental in Auburn's basketball success, getting promotions as well, and just pretty much everyone there on the staff getting an opportunity to move up a little bit.
I could see Steven, if Auburn had another really successful regular season or a tournament run or something, I could see Steven Pearl as a candidate, you know, in the Southeast.
A lot of places.
Or at places, yeah. I mean, I think that's absolutely something to watch for over the next couple of years.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Bending, stretching, walking. The simple moves in life are a real challenge with joint pain. When that happens, the Orthopedic Clinic is here to help. The Orthopedic Clinic offers
U.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive, 19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Come on in and join us. You heard the number there, 334-321-1390. What are you looking for? What do you want to hear about when Auburn practice gets started, Auburn football practice gets started tomorrow? What do you think about the Big Ten and the possibility of adding at least two? It sounds like Oregon, Washington, for sure, and possibly Cal and Stanford. That would get the Big Ten to 20 teams and really get us much closer to super conferences.
Bill, you've seen when a mall goes downhill, right?
The department
stores leave and the mm-hmm. movie theater closes up, and you know soon it's just these husks.
It's a
these,
shell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Pac-12.
That's what the Pac-12
that's
is.
That's what's going
be.
On
You're
with
right.
the Pac-12. Like, the department stores have moved out, and now
the big ones, for sure. The two biggest ones, the anchors on either end, sort of have moved out, even though USC and Southern Cal aren't literally on either end. But they're big time.
They were the biggest, you know, two of the biggest four anchors in the athletic
yep.
department there, and are in the conference. And,
I mean,
and
historically,
yeah.
much
yep.
you know, much more history there with those two schools than anybody else.
And Washington State and Oregon State, I think, will fit into a Mountain West with other, like, if that's where they end up,
yeah.
like to work into a Mountain West where there are other programs geographically right there. I mean, Washington State and Boise
State.
I don't think
they want to be the Pac-2.
No,
and see what kind of deal they can get.
And I just wonder if the Big Ten will extend. Maybe the Big 12 would want to. I mean,
nah.
It's yeah. I just don't know either. I
20.
Mean,
I mean. It, 20, it's amazing to think about 20. But
what do you think happens to the ACC, Bill? Because these programs are talking like a conference that's in trouble.
Yes, it's up to the ACC to try to do something. They try to, I don't know how they convinced Notre Dame to become a full-fledged member of the ACC. That would be the biggest news. The most positive news for the ACC.
But the problem right now for the ACC appears to be that you've got schools saying we want a bigger, like, if the pie isn't going to change, if we're not going to get more money from a TV network, we want a bigger share than other teams in this conference
right.
based on what we've done as an athletic department versus what they've done as an athletic department. And that feels like a really dangerous recipe for a conference.
The conference can't start doing that, because then what happens if one team has a good year? It's like, okay, I need a bigger share now.
What did the Florida State president say?
I know that's what he said.
He's saying, yeah, if we're going to win as much as we've won compared to other ACC programs in the last...
They need to win a little bit more right now, but...
that's true, but still, I mean,
we've won an awful lot. I mean, what's Vandy going to say?
Well, since
50 years ago, we won so much more. No.
Florida State's saying since joining the league, right? I mean,
I know, but what have they done the last few years?
You're right. That does include the 90s and the you know, much of the early 2000s. The Bobby Bowden era is there.
How much this century?
That's true, and yet, like that's the language we're hearing from the places
right.
that.
Well, that's because that's human nature. I'm doing more. I deserve more.
I'd be nervous though about what that means for the future of that league, because I don't think the schools are gonna like. What answer are they gonna? If you say yes to them,
no, you can't say. They can't say yes.
If you say no to them,
they need to get more for everybody, and it's just tough. I mean, Florida State is not gonna go to if they leave the ACC, they're not gonna find a league that's gonna say, well, if you win the conference, we're gonna give you more than. than anybody else. You'll get more if you get to a championship game.
Drew,
you know?
Drew Weatherford, who I believe used to be a quarterback at Florida State and is now a trustee. Mm-hmm. You know, he's done well, I guess, in what he's done post football. Brett McMurphy quoted him earlier today saying, "It's not a matter of when Florida State leaves the ACC, but how, and it's not a matter of if Florida State leaves the ACC, but how and when we leave," unquote. "It's not a matter of if, but how and when," unquote.
And where are they going?
And where are they going?
Because it doesn't seem like the Big Ten is pursuing them.
Would the SEC and the Big Ten, though, would they want Florida State to keep the other from getting them? Like, is it Florida State and Clemson? Are they valuable enough as football brands that if they're
they would be to the SEC. I would think first of all, I think the commissioner probably would have to take a long look if the Big Ten expands to 20 and have to go, well, not do we need to keep up with them, but do we need to go ahead and create, let's go ahead and if they're going to be super conferences, let's be as good as possible. And before, you know, before, say, Florida State, Clemson go to the Big 12, who tries to become a, you know, even more viable.
And that would be like the question of, yeah, like you said, where they go. But it's also like if you're the commissioner of the SEC, you're evaluating the market based on what's out there in mm-hmm. the market. And if some ACC programs with football tradition and big audiences and big fan bases, if they are available to join your league, it's different than considering the other schools in the Big 12 other than Texas and Oklahoma, or considering the schools in the American.
Yeah, would you rather have Florida State and Clemson or Oklahoma State and who?
Oh, from like to join
the
SEC?
12.
Yeah, whatever the next Kansas State?
Maybe.
Texas Tech?
Baylor?
Baylor, like, yeah, no, I think it's the ACC programs that would make.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you'd rather have those, and it fits better. I mean, even though the SEC has moved a little further west, it fits better, not just geographically. No,
okay,
we took a break.
Yeah,
we got about three minutes.
All right, cool.
Now it fits better. I think they're a better fit, not just geographically. Florida State and Clemson just fit the SEC.
When the ACC's top programs start looking for the escape hatch, right? When they start looking for the exit ramp because they don't like the revenue they're getting from the conference versus what the top programs in the Big 12, the Big 10, and the ACC, and the SEC, and the Big 12 are getting. Like when ACC teams start looking for the exit, I just think that conference runs the risk of turning into the new Pac-12. Like, that's the one that's got, I mean, when you lose, if Florida State and Clemson are genuinely upset enough to explore leaving for a different conference because of the revenue the ACC's bringing in, like, I don't know what solution is there for the ACC other than, I mean, it just feels like you're knocking down dominoes in that conference.
It seems like, it really looks like the ACC is on the path of the Pac-12 right
yeah.
now. I mean, because coming up with a better deal for everyone still isn't going to suit Florida State. Florida State's saying, we're falling behind. We need to make what the SEC and the Big Ten are making. If the ACC can't do that, ACC's not going to take away from some of the teams to keep Florida State and Clemson.
And I think Florida State and Clemson and programs like that, I know I'm lumping Clemson in, I don't know if they've actually said, you know, a lot of
I haven't heard anything.
But
they just seem like.
And I would say Miami is also in this neighborhood as well, where there are programs in the ACC that recognize they would be attractive to mm-hmm. a major.
Miami just seems like a better fit to the Big Ten.
Sure, but I think there are also maybe programs in the ACC that say, well, hey, let's keep this thing going the way it is right now, because if things break apart, we're not sure there's a seat for us in one of these other leagues. Like, I mean...
We need to be at the front of this. We don't need to be behind watching other people go and take what could be our spot somewhere.
Okay, how about this, Bill? Florida State, Miami, Clemson, Louisville?
That's not a bad four.
I mean, is that? Are those four athletic programs to make the SEC more interesting if the ACC breaks apart? Because there's also, I don't have it right in front of me, but there's also that thing about the ACC's deal where if X amount of teams all want to leave, it sort of terminates like the ACC's ability to stop them. Like there's a clause that allows, like, the conference can break. It's very difficult for one team or two teams to leave the ACC. But if a block of teams decide they want out, apparently it's very easy for them to get out of the deal. So then the question becomes, how many unhappy campers are in the conference, and would they seriously consider pushing the button?
For a fit in the SEC, I'm thinking, if you're looking at four from the ACC, I'm looking at Florida State, Clemson, NC State, and Louisville.
Would you rather have NC State than UNC?
I think in North Carolina's not going somewhere without Duke.
I don't know. I mean, I think you're probably right.
I
didn't think Oklahoma was going somewhere without Oklahoma State.
I felt that if Texas was there.
But if Texas is leaving, they might, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they just feel like more like SEC schools,
Carolina,
is what I'm
would
saying.
Would you rather have NC State?
Carolina.
Would you rather have NC State than Virginia Tech? Because Virginia Tech's an interesting possible. I mean, that's a program that
it
would
is.
Be an interesting. Miami, Florida State.
Kentucky would go there to hell no on Louisville, just like Florida is with Florida State.
So you're thinking Florida State, Clemson.
I know what you know what you're going to hear from. You know what you're going to hear from some older fans is, bring Georgia Tech back. That Georgia Tech's not a fit.
If you're not taking Miami, if you think Miami might be in a Big Ten East,
they just feel like Big Ten. They feel like they fit better with Big Ten.
Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, Virginia Tech. As for football oriented,
Louisville's athletic program's pretty
Virginia
good.
Tech is too. Virginia Tech's won some basketball success. I mean, they're not just a program that's had ups and downs in football under Beamer and since he left. I don't know. Yeah, UNC, the notion of UNC, Duke, Wake, and NC State banding together and being sort of four programs for one league.
That'd just be the Carolina League.
Yeah. What about UVA?
No, they're not in Carolina.
But I know.
You're right.
That's a Big Ten program.
Yeah, it is.
If things start expanding. Like, that's another one you could see, you know, sort of fitting into the Big Ten and variety with Syracuse.
Yeah, I wonder. I think it's going to be really interesting, you know, after the first couple of things now about the Big Ten possibly expanding, if we may start hearing some rumblings coming from ACC schools going, hey, we're closer to you. Don't forget about us.
We got rumblings coming out of ACC schools right now. I think the ACC.
Oh yeah, I mean others than Florida State.
Oh sure,
though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our bottom of the hour break. We're a little behind. Right back with more of your phone calls as we head into the final half hour here on the Wednesday Drive.
827-5502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20, a little over 20 minutes, and let's get right to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jerry gets us started. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. That's an interesting comment. I was thinking about the way the ACC could survive would be to add West Virginia and...
Yeah, I think trying to lure programs to the ACC right now is a difficult proposition unless they're coming from a considerably worse.
If they were like coming from the AAC,
Tulane would maybe. I mean, I'm trying to think of like who would be fits that aren't. Tulane's not in the new Big 12, right?
No.
So like Tulane and Memphis, maybe. Like if you were looking to add to the conference. Maybe
is that going
to
bring them a lot more money?
That's what I mean. Like I don't know if the ACC could realistically
split the pot even more.
Yeah, I don't know if they could bring in a school that would raise their prospects as a television brand, especially in football.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough, and keeping the toughest job now is keeping the big fish happy in the ACC, because I think Florida State, among others, just saw what Texas and Oklahoma did, and they just saw what USC and UCLA did, and they said, if we're if we're in danger of falling behind, we'll do the exact same thing. And I think most of the programs in the ACC that see themselves as national championship caliber in football or men's basketball will try to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would love to see Florida State, North Carolina, join the SEC, but
let them keep Boston College, probably.
Yeah,
like that's the couple of those road trips a little bit too far. Great stuff, Jerry.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Jerry. Let's move on. Inspector is up next. Hey, Inspector.
Hey guys. Hey Dan. I looked up at Cedric Falk.
Keldrick.
And yeah. Say again.
Keldrick. Yeah. Keldrick Falk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. I see how he flew under my radar because they got him listed as a four.
Yeah, it was after right at the signing period, he got promoted by one service to a five star.
Yeah, so I think there's when you describe someone as a five star. There's the argument that if any one of the major services has him listed as a five-star, he can be considered a five-star. Or, some people say, it needs to be a consensus or a composite, multiple services need to say it. I believe Rivals is the only one of the services that had Keldrick Falk as a five-star when he was a high school recruit. They had him as the number two player in the state, had him as the number 19 player nationally. That's good enough for me. Right.
If he's one of the top 20 players in the country. Yeah. I think that's fine.
If Rival says you're a five star, that's good enough for me that you're a five star.
And like Jason said, he's now moved to that strong side defensive end. No, he's not going to be a jack. He's sort of outgrown that.
And Spectre, I can tell you, rave reviews from folks who have seen Keldrick
all
Falk
spring long.
Since spring ended. That's one of the guys that some of the upperclassmen have shouted out. Seems like it's going to be tough to keep him off the field this year.
That's great to hear. Great to hear. I just wanted to let you know that's how he flew under my radar. I try to look for those ratings, but he rates out at a .96 as a four star. So that's right there on the borderline.
Yeah, he's a big guy who really his motor runs. He was very impressive just in the time we got to see some of the practices this spring. No question.
Yeah, I was looking over the rest of the teams in the SEC, and what the teams are fielding this year. Alabama's still leading the conference in putting eight freshmen five stars on the field.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and Georgia's coming up with five, and the closest one after that's A&M with two, LSU with two, Arkansas with one, and Tennessee with one.
So, some of the top tier talent defensively, some of the starters at Bama and Georgia and LSU this year. I mean, this is one of the first team all conference, which only had defensive players, Spectre, from Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. The one that folks voted on at Media Days 2 weeks ago. The predicted first team all defense that the SEC had. I think all 12 players that were listed were either from Georgia, Bama, or LSU, and a lot of them. You know, they're there because they've earned it. Like they've been produced. They were five stars coming out of high school that have produced from the moment they got on campus. And yeah, the hope is that Auburn. I think the hope around the conference is that you can start getting some more of those guys coming to your school. And sounds like Auburn's got a couple.
That's right. That's right. Hope to see it. One other thing before I let y'all go, I was talking to Jacob earlier. On the Line's going to be gone for the next 4 days.
Yeah, well, Jacob hadn't taken a vacation, I don't think, in I don't know how long, and since he's got the show by himself for a while, that's the only solution that there was for a few days.
Yeah, and Jacob's earned it, and so he's going to be back when he's back from his vacation next week, and we'll have some coverage.
Well, Bill, I know you got a day job. What about you, Dan?
Hey.
Can you fill in?
Well, I got things. It's Jacob's show, and I would never intrude on someone else's air shift, Spectre. But I think you might hear me on the line.
Yeah.
every once in a while. You never know.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody doesn't want to work.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
I'm just trying to get you guys smoke or airtime.
My rate is very fair, Spectre.
Yeah, I imagine it is. Okay, guys. Well, that's about all I got then. I look forward to hearing some more later.
All right, Spectre. Appreciate the call.
All right.
334-321-1390.
Nice Spectrum just nominate me to do the 2-4 show the next couple of days. You know,
yeah.
No, that's going to be. And we'll tomorrow we will have audio.
We'll have audio from Hugh Freeze. And our thoughts on what we get to see.
Yeah, really looking forward to hopefully the weather cooperates as best it can.
God, it's going to be hot. Hey, it doesn't rain very often in the morning. But fortunately, it's not quite as hot as it is in the afternoon. So it'll probably only be 90 or so tomorrow morning when we're watching.
Yeah, looking forward to
a warning for the folks on campus. I'm wearing shorts.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think you'll see. I think it'll be easy to pick out the media guys. They're at practice because they're the ones not.
Yeah, we're the ones that aren't in shape.
We're the ones not doing the drills. Yeah, yeah. And we'll be the ones. It's.
No, I shouldn't speak for the entire media.
What's your answer?
Quite a few guys in the media that are.
Where are you going to go first? You know, what position groups tend to attract your attention first and foremost?
Well, I do want to see the receivers, so that'll mean I'll be looking at the quarterbacks as well. I want to take a little look at the linebackers too. And the defensive front. One of us, I mean, that's the thing. It's going to be hard to be looking at the defensive line and the receivers. But, I mean, there's so many guys working for positions there at defensive line.
You'll see if Jason takes my idea to try to tape an episode of his podcast with Luke Deal tomorrow during
Yeah, well, I mean, when it explicitly says in the information we get from the media, no live.
Oh, they don't.
Well, it can be taping something. Yeah, that's right. They just want no live broadcasting. Or, you know.
Oh, so if they're not live, the coaching staff would have no problem with Jason coming in for comment.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Coming in for comment.
Hey,
Luke.
What was that last play? Yeah. What did he do wrong on that last play?
Hey, Luke, real quick. Yeah, grab us. Oh, man. That would be it'd be like that Running with Reed show that they do. It'd just be Jason Caldwell with a microphone.
Well, you know what? If you probably had deep enough pockets, you might be able to do that.
Oh, just what the whole team do the podcast taping? Yeah, well, we're giving them ideas for free here. But,
yeah,
but
that's true.
No, I think tomorrow should be. I'm with you. The pass catchers. I mean, obviously, there's going
to
be,
man, what a battle that is at receiver. Yeah. I mean, just trying to sort it out. I think I've got an idea where players would probably line up. You know, inside, outside, the slot, but I have no idea the order that they could be or how quickly it could change.
And if it's, I mean, if Jarquez is out there, you know, that I'm sure folks will be looking.
That would be a big, big story, no question.
If he's not.
That's a big, big story.
Running backs, running backs still attracts a lot of attention because you got.
And then you're worried about Brian Batiste's toe.
You got Brian Batiste's toe. Now, look, this is not to brush away any concerns people have about Jarquez, but. Even before the Jarquez situation became more public than it is, or more public than it was, the most improved player. I mean, we heard so much about Damari, throughout the offseason. So that's another guy that you wonder what kind of role there's going to be for him this year. And you know they love Sean Jackson too. So yeah, I want to see what the running backs look like the next couple of days.
Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline before we have to get to our final break and. I think is it Delane?
Yeah, it's Delane.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. How long are you guys going to get with the team tomorrow?
That is a good question. I mean, we had sort of gotten used to about 20 minutes of watching players stretch and maybe do some slight work in position drills. Coach Freeze was very generous with us during the spring, so we don't know. It just says that practice starts at 9:30 with a viewing window. Didn't say how long it will run. Hopefully they'll be nice. We'll be nice, and they'll let us watch, you know, more than just stretching.
Now Harson let you guys watch for a while though, right? He gave y'all a lot of good.
No, not really. Honestly, not really. I mean, oh, okay. Now that was more watching stretching, warm up, and then a little bit of drills. That's where we'd sort of gotten in the habit, and honestly. It was that way with Gus sort of at the end where we weren't really getting to see much of real 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 or lineman offense versus defensive lineman, that type thing. But, no, we were able to see more of that with Coach Freeze this spring than we've been able to see in a few years.
Okay. I was just wondering about that. I knew last year – or I was thinking last year that you guys got to watch a lot more, and I thought you may have got to see enough that that you could tell how the year was going to go. And I was just going to see.
No, that's why I was so wrong last year.
Yeah. Okay. okay. Well, I mean, this is old news, but up here in Florence, have you guys talked any about Kerryon? He got a new gig up here at UNA. I don't know if I've heard anybody even talking about it.
No, so. I saw that, but no, I don't think we even mentioned it when it happened. Something else must have been going on. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a shame that, you know, that's sort of the story with running backs. You're not guaranteed a long career, but I'm sure Kerryon will be an outstanding
coach. He battled some injuries at Auburn before his pro career got started. So, I mean, I think that's a guy who, you know, I remember talking with Kerryon when he was a player here about the understanding that his career won't be very long in the pros just because that's the way it is for running backs. And so, yeah, I'm glad he's able to pivot to beginning his professional, his post playing career with a job at UNA. And, you know, that's a guy who, I mean, he has the personality, I think. Bill, what would you say? Kerryon Johnson has the personality to be a great recruiter.
Yes, if that's, absolutely.
If that's what he wants to do with the next few years as a, you know, involved in college athletics. I could see Kerryon growing into
someone. I think it's a really good opportunity for him.
Who's really, really good at it.
Okay, that's probably not it. That's not an on-the-field role, is it? What's it called?
Director of player development,
right.
I believe. Yeah. He's sort of an administrative role behind the scenes. Probably won't be, but still someone who interacts with the players a lot.
Yep.
I mean, that's someone who, that's a position, especially for a former player, that's a learn how it works at the college game from the administrative level and maybe become an on-field coach either there or somewhere else pretty soon afterward. If that's the kind of job that you would take if you wanted to take that path.
Yeah. Well, I wish him the best. I love me some Kerryon. I was thinking the same thing, Dan, about what Spector said. I thought you could just fill in for Jacob. I thought, well, Dan could do that. Hey, but anyway, you were talking about Rivaldo, trying to come up with a nickname for Rivaldo. Have you come up with anything?
No, no. What are you? I'm hearing. I mean, see, here's the thing, though.
I don't know.
When your name is Rivaldo, do you need a nickname?
Right.
Like when your name is something that like you could just easily just, I mean, the crowd can chant that and they could put that on the Jumbotron, and I mean, I'd put it on the back of his jersey. Like that's what the back of Rivaldo's jersey would say if it were up to me. But
I don't know. I was trying to talk myself into RV. I don't know. We've got a tank. We've got a Cadillac.
That's not bad. I like that. I like that.
It is. You know what? And it shortens it. It does. Yeah, I'll run that. I'll run that up the.
That could be on the jersey.
Run that up the flagpole.
I like it.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I gotta run. You guys have a
good hearing from you, Delane. Yeah. Yeah. Give us a call back sometime.
All right. Sure thing.
All right. We will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Cole here from University.
1-1-3-9-0. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of the Wednesday Drive. Been a fun show. Man, you can tell that we're getting close to something to the start of football. I mean, there's news. There are things to talk about. And you can just tell everybody's excited that the – I don't know that everybody's excited summer's coming to an end. I mean, school's about to get started. But, I mean, that does mean that football is right around the corner. Tomorrow, the first day of practice for Auburn. We will hear from Hugh Freeze at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Then we'll get a chance to watch. And, no, I don't know how long we'll get to watch. What was the surprise a few times for us this spring was we'd think that we were going to have about a 15- or 20-minute viewing window. And Coach Freeze, as he would be walking out to practice, going, "You guys going to stick around for a while?" And we go, "Well, sure." And he goes, "Well, just a come on. And we get like 30 or 45 minutes, an hour, I believe, one time.
Yeah, and I'll try to watch practice. I'll try to go to as many viewing windows as I can before they switch to the afternoons because once it's 4 to 6.
It's tough. We can't,
And I'm
of us might be able to occasionally, but I don't know how many viewing windows there are going to be once season gets started.
And I'm happy to man the ship here in the studio most of the time while Bill's able to catch the viewing window because Bill's keeping track of the
depth chart.
I've got sources in that that room anyways, but it's gonna be great to get to actually watch some of these practices over the next 2 weeks and maybe. There could still be, on the weekends. There's that fan event scheduled for the
kickoff.
Is that the 12th?
Yes.
I have a feeling there could be. Didn't they do a big open practice on? That was the previous administration
Did you hear what Alabama's doing? Alabama on their fan day. You've got to be a member. You've got to be a contributing member to one of their organizations to get an autograph. That's what the Sandersons were telling me this morning.
That
doesn't sit well with a lot of people.
The fan event, I believe, is open an hour earlier to Victory members.
Yes, it is.
Other folks can get in. It's not closed to the public.
No.
It's open an hour earlier for on to Victory people. Different than what you were just describing there.
Oh, yeah. Fun show today. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us in hour number one and all the callers. Ferg with us tomorrow.
Justin Ferguson should be in the house tomorrow.
We're looking forward to that. Hopefully you'll join us as well. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.